Podcast, we're not, we're people recording a podcast. The podcast format: Allison brings a topic that Chris and I are supposed to talk about, but more often than not, we don't know anything about the topic, so we bullshit our way through it. It's pretty much every business meeting you've ever been to in podcast form. We like it. Maybe you will too. You can find us on the internet. Just Google Binary Jazz. Google will figure out like where you want to see us, our site, YouTube, Twitter, which one you frequent. You can figure it out. That's it. That's it. We're starting. Let's go.
Pretty good SEO.
It's rock and roll.
SEO for Binary Jazz, actually.
Yeah, SEO for the uninitiated is
except
sublimated. What?
Except there's a book on Amazon. No, not a book. It's an album. On Amazon Music by Scott Shaw called Binary Jazz. And he has, so on the front page of Google, we have all of the results. No, none of the video suggestions, all of the results on the page except for Binary Jazz by Scott Shaw on Amazon Music. But that is followed by Binary Jazz. Oh no, by Binary Jazz by Aubrey on Amazon Music, which is also not us. But you have everything else.
Wait, what's Amazon? I'm not familiar with this.
You know, no, you don't know Amazon. Yeah.
Not a primer. That's a lie.
That's too bad.
It's a lie. Hey, I'm realizing as we roll into this episode, that I'm pretty fired up today, which is a different take on things. So I hope you all are buckled in.
How many cups of coffee have you had?
I've just had two. Okay. Just two. I woke up early because my mind was doing stuff. So about 5 o'clock-ish, I was like, well, it's time to get up. So not that like an hour more, that doesn't make sense. Why would that make me a bit more hyper here? Maybe there's a glint of optimism out that window.
Oh, I hope so. There's no optimism out my window.
I it's not related to the new job.
Yeah. That Friday optimism.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe it's a Friday and I'm not dreading Monday. That's not true. I didn't dread Monday at my last job.
But it's new, newness is nice.
Novelty especially. Is cool. Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe it's just that simple. Like novelty in my life.
Things are different, and I think that's nice during quarantine times.
Yeah, so the kids were excited about my new job on Monday. And so
were excited about you working for a beer thing.
they don't know. I mean, they're
excited.
Maybe they're
taking
that vibe from, right. They're excited. Well, number one, cause it's change. Right. So that's probably part of it. But also they were like, you know, like I told them, yeah, it's a step in a different direction. Like it's actually like a reduction in title. Cool. Whatever, you know, like, but I feel like I'm gonna be doing stuff that I enjoy more. And they were like, that's awesome. So they like Monday, they're like, good luck at your new job. And I came and sat down at my computer and powered it on at the same time and opened the same software, Slack, Gmail, PHP Storm. And I'm like, for a brief moment, I pondered the time we live in that I can have a new job and do exactly the same thing that I did on every Monday at my previous job.
Like, there are new people now. It's a different Slack.
It is a different Slack, yes. Yes, and a quieter Slack, just the nature of the people. Not the people are quieter.
Their traditions, their emoji responses.
Yeah, less the emoji, not adoption, but the the sort of initial culture, not exactly culture shock either. What am I thinking?
Dialect.
Yeah, emoji dialect. Thank you. Moving from one Slack to another Slack and learning the new emoji dialect is very, very interesting and very difficult. Like you have certain expectations going into it, and then like they're all dashed.
I have been renowned for my emoji utilization throughout for the previous Slackospheres I've been in. So
you obviously uploaded the Charmander dancing.
Yeah.
That was like, the first thing you did. Absolutely. On day one, you log into Slack and you're like, what? No Charmander dancing.
Day T minus 14, because I joined the Slack 2 weeks before I started there to do some pre-employment stuff. Charmander was probably actually maybe like T minus 8 days I had a Charmander dancing. Because how would I react to things without Charmander dancing? But also it wasn't like a thanks emoji, so now there's two. One of my favorites is the little oh no text bubble. I need to add to our Slack, but I often find when I break things that that's a great emoji to lean into, because it makes it a little, it makes me feel a little less like, oh shit. And it took till Thursday before I broke something, and it wasn't even in prod. So, I mean, I'm kind of killing it, not bragging, but, and I've pushed a prod.
Did you work twice. Out that thing? Did you work out that 4 day a week thing? Is that what you're doing?
Like, no. Nope. They didn't want to do that, which is fair, because they were like, we're a little concerned you're going to get used to that. And then when we want to ramp up, you're going to be like, no thanks. And that is not going to be ideal for us. Like,
thanks. Yeah. Well, they're not wrong.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of why I'm asking for it. It'd be pretty badass to work a 4 day a week job for the rest of my life. Like, you wouldn't have to worry about retaining me. Like, not that that's a concern. I feel like I have to maybe couch my language a little on the off chance that like my manager's like, oh, maybe I should listen to this podcast he's on and this would be the episode. That would be horrifying. Not really. But I don't want to say something stupid.
So oh, what the hell? Listening, if you're listening, hi to Gary's new
first employers. Unlikely. Secondly,
not that unlikely. I mean, it's somewhat unlikely that people that we work with would listen to the podcast that we do, but it's more likely that people that we work with would listen to the podcast that we do than anyone else would listen to it.
Yeah, and I guess
like I thought for a minute that my parents were going to start listening, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then I think they just kind of gave up the whole podcast idea. So
yeah,
they were going to learn how for the driving back from California to Colorado. Now they're just like not driving, obviously. So I'm just like, that's like shelved. The long car ride is shelved.
You're like, have you heard Radiolab? Me. Yeah. Said, yeah.
Well, I feel like there's so many podcasts that are like right up my parents' alley of like weird.
Oh, niche. Were we going to be like the introduction to podcasting for your parents?
Yeah.
Like trial it out on this completely meaningless podcast that talks about nothing. And then once you've gotten used to the idea of podcasts, you can find something that actually is interesting.
It has a narrative flow.
Talk about jumping in the deep end.
Like you can't just throw someone into the world of Ira Glass. You have to like ease in.
That's probably legit. That's probably legit. Also, I mean, if you want to dip your toe in the water, you can't just go to podcasts that have no advertising, right? You have to sort of like slowly wean yourself off of commercials. So
yeah.
Like anything from Gimlet would be okay. So you can hear the same advertisement 130 times.
I'm thinking
then you can get into the more. What's that?
But I'm thinking about using Squarespace.
Oh God, MailChimp, what?
Well, that will prevent me from making this entire episode a DigitalOcean advertisement.
What else should we say is awesome while we're here? What are you using Deploy HQ?
Deploy HQ, yeah.
Deploy HQ is fantastic, as is Buddy.Works. What are some other lesser known things that we should give a shout out to that make our lives better? Slack, congratulations on the purchase by Salesforce. Don't start sucking.
Salesforce bought Slack. I didn't see that.
Yeah, like $28 billion.
Jesus.
I saw that number. I'm like, wow, that's a really crazy, gross exaggeration. No, it's not. It was like 27.7 and, or maybe 12.2. I don't know. It kind of blows my mind. Like that's an enormous number for Slack, I feel. And Salesforce is not an organization I particularly care for.
I know a lot of, I've met people who work for Salesforce in one capacity or another. And they seem
Of course you have, because they employ like
they
a
seem
third
like
of the
okay
tech
human beings. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And yet they can't describe what they do exactly.
Well, the person that I think that was that might have been the talk that I went to that was talking about outcome driven development planning. And he was a project owner.
Aren't we all? Oh. I take that back. I can't dog on people at Salesforce because I don't know very many. However, my experience with the platform has been like, oh, you have lots of platforms and very poor API docs. Also, lack of flexibility. The people might be wonderful. The technical side leaves me sad.
But it's not for us. It's not for me. It's
I know.
You.
They're not extracting cash from me, so I guess what does it matter? Like,
it's not for
I
us.
I don't matter
it
to them.
It doesn't need to be good for us. It needs to be good for the people that use it. And
I'm not delivering shareholder value, therefore, I am not worth the effort to them.
I discovered a tool. I'm a little bit late to this boat, but I discovered a tool that I've been playing with a little bit called Notion.
Hmm. Well, no idea what that is.
It is.
Do you like it?
Hard to describe. It's a note-taking app of sorts. But the cool thing about Notion is you can sort of link different things together. And you can create these like documents that are I think like a lot of people use it for like sprint boards and whatever like worky stuff. And so, but that's not how I wanted to use it. I learned about it first in the capacity of writing a D&D adventure because some people were using that to keep track of all their characters and like their narrative and all the settings, and you can link it all back and forth. And I was like, that sounds like a lot of work, and I'm not going to do that for this front. I'm just going to use what I know, which is Google Docs. But then I started thinking about like, okay, well, if you could do it for that, could you do it for like an ongoing campaign? And I found, so you can create templates based on the stuff that you use. You can use other people's templates. And there's a D&D podcast called The Adventure Zone, which is a big deal. And The Adventure Zone, apparently, they have a Notion template. And I don't know if this is what they use, but I used their template. And so it has like, you can create databases, right? You can create these databases in like a note-taking app. And essentially a database is just like a spreadsheet. But like each item in the spreadsheet can be its own thing, its own like document, right? So you can fill your spreadsheet with like your characters, you can fill your spreadsheet with like NPCs, you can with all the details about them, you can give each thing categories and tags and never all those things cross-link to each other. So you can have like this whole collection of stuff that's all like, you know, hyper-tagged and meta-linked and, you know, hypertext transfer protocoled.
Wow.
I've only used it in a work capacity, but like right now I'm working on a really lovely site that's also bilingual though. And it's been really helpful for that because we can use it to link to English, the French, and like keep things like sitemap wise. I can just keep everything organized because there's also courses and lessons, and I'm just, everything has to be in both. And so it's really helped me get a handle on what actually is connected to where in the grand scheme of things, especially because I don't speak French that well. So I'm like, especially my written French, I'm like, oh, that's how you spell that word. Great.
Yeah. So I've been kind of trying to use that. I moved all of my stuff. Part of it was like, part of this was inspired by the fact that I had a really long document in Google Docs of all of the side characters in the campaign that I'm running with the family, and I have a really hard time keeping track of them all. But in particular, I have a really hard time keeping track of what accent I used last for that character and where that character was found. Like, this character is the shop owner of such and such, and that such and such is in this district, right? And this is the accent that I used for them. And I wanted a way to like have like a really just a quick view where I could see that information like at a glance when I needed it, and not have to like scroll through this really long document with all with everything and go through everybody.
Or have this like weird bartender show up in a village where you're like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yes. So for that, it's been really good. Although I haven't used it for that yet, but I've started like I started putting in like session notes yesterday before the thing. I need to put the session notes from last night in, just because I realized too that like if frequently if I don't if I don't know where we left off, and like if I'm running out of a book, like an adventure of a pre-published adventure, I can usually like keep track. Well, this is where we left off, so that's where we're gonna pick up. But if I'm not, or if we're ad-libbing, or if there's just stuff in between, or if we kind of went off book for a while, I don't necessarily remember what we were doing last. And that's kind of important.
Yeah.
So taking notes and taking notes of like things that people picked up, and like, because not everybody is going to like remember that stuff. It's helpful. So for that sort of stuff, it's been, yeah, it's interesting.
What technology do you use during D&D then? Do you have a laptop open?
I have a laptop open. I have lots and lots of dice. I have stacks of books. Laptop I use for music and then ambient sound. I use a program called Sirenscape, which does like just background ambient noise. And they have a bunch of like free packs that you can download. That are like, you know, this is the this is like a weird witchy shop. This is like underground dungeon crawling noises. They also have music, but I use my own music because I've been, you know, curating these playlists for freaking ever. So I do that, and then I also use it for reference, mostly for stat blocks. So when they're encountering a creature, I usually have a stat block up in a tab in Firefox, because it's easier to look up the stat block on the internet than to flip through the pages of the book, usually. What that doesn't give me is like if there's any other information about the creature, then the book is going to tell me more about that thing. So like last night I had a bunch of stat blocks up and I had a page open in front of me about, you know, the gold dragon that they might meet. And it has all the information and the lair actions and stuff that wouldn't have been just in the stat block. And I also use my laptop for like looking up spells, because again, like flipping through pages takes longer than like doing a Google search and finding the spell and the reference there. So I usually have a laptop handling like that stuff. And then I have stacks and stacks of books, so many books. Most books, and mostly like stacks of books that I never open either. Like they just sit back behind me. They're there if I need them. Most of it is there's not a lot of, it's mostly lo-fi, like actual things. But I have been playing with the idea, and maybe when we can do D&D in a group with people again. I've been playing with the idea of using Roll20 and like screen sharing, or like extending my laptop display to the TV that would basically be right behind the table that we play on, to show like, you know, this is a visual representation of what they're looking at. So there's like, you know, so you can see it better, or so you can see things, or because I can use digital maps instead of like, you know, if I don't have
something.
Because that sort of stuff, Roll20 in particular does like lighting effects and like area, like your vision area. So like if you enter a room, it shows you what you can see. Whereas it's really hard to like replicate that like with actual miniatures. My miniature collection is I have to ad lib a lot, we'll say. Like, oh yeah, these rat things from the Mice and Mystics game, they're going to be our bugbears today. Again, this is what happens, ladies and gentlemen, when we record on the day after I run D&D. Podcast is D&D. Sorry.
I love it because Gary's like totally amped. You're amped about D&D. I'm just like in Friday mode.
What's your like normal Friday routine like after you close out the week?
After you all do? Close out the week.
Like when you're like, I'm done working for the week. Like what's right. The thing that happens? What's your...
Well, lately, Fridays mean that we have a fancy ginger ale.
No, that's rad.
Yeah.
That's like, the kind of answer I was looking for.
It's like Fever Tree ginger ale. So it's like super fancy and like real ginger and delicious.
Ooh, that's got some kick.
That combined with some very classy all-dressed chips.
All-dressed chips?
Yeah.
What is that?
They're like
lots of stuff on them?
That's today's topic. It's the everything bagel of chips.
It's the everything bagel of chips. Yeah, it's kind of like a combination between barbecue and ketchup. I guess, I mean, I think you have them now in the States in certain places, but they're good. It's like you can commit to a bag of all-dressed chips, but I can't commit to a whole bag of ketchup chips. That's just like a lot for me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Friday nights are movie nights, so
solid.
We rotate through the family who gets to pick a movie for Friday night, and usually we don't finish it on Friday night. Usually it's sort of like we watch part of it and then it goes over through the weekend, and to keep it easier to remember, we're kind of going in descending order, in order of age. So like it's me and then Aaron and then Gavin and then Lila, and then after Lila is me again. Just because it's easier to remember that way, because we didn't have a specific order before, and I thought, well, should we put this on the calendar? But that seems really weird. Should we remember who we did last week? So that makes it somewhat easier to do that.
Yeah,
that's our Friday night thing. We've been trying to do like more. I want to say rituals, in mm-hmm. that way to. Throughout the pandemic, because just to keep a sense of normalcy and like and like fun things, like not like rituals, like I have to do this thing, like you know, like Thursday is D&D and Friday is movie night, and yeah. Aaron and I used to do rom-com Mondays, where on Monday night we used to watch a romantic comedy. We haven't been doing that lately. We probably should get back into that. But we're getting into Love Actually season anyway, so.
Ritual is the right word, though. Like that's actually, I guess, what I wanted to ask was, what's your Friday ritual?
Do you know what the movie is for tonight yet?
No, it will be Aaron's pick. There's a new movie that's done by the people that did Song of the Sea and what's the other one? Secret of the Kells, which is a really cool animation studio that does like a lot of things that are sort of based on like Irish and Gaelic and like, you know, English mythologies, which both of those are, and they have a new movie that's on Apple TV Plus, which we've been wanting to watch anyway. I think that we might just watch that, but not do that as our Friday night movie. But it's Aaron's pick, so I don't know what the movie's going to be yet. Hmm. Last week we watched. What did we watch? What did I make us watch? usually, when I pick something, it's not painful.
Do you think your choices are more esoteric?
Idiocracy is what we watched last week.
A pick me up.
Yeah.
It's like last night we watched nice. Children exactly. of Men, and I was like, what are we doing?
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to watch. I was in the mood for like Office Space, mm-hmm. but I felt like watching Office Space with the kids, like they wouldn't get the office part of it, which is like half of the joke. So we settled on Idiocracy.
Did you all keep up with the seasons of Fargo? I don't even know.
I haven't. Yeah, I've seen
the last season. I found really crushing. I mean, it's not like a pleasant show anyway, obviously. But Chris Rock is in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that.
Which, I mean, just, yeah, it was really, it was favorite's the wrong word. It was the season I most appreciated by far, because it was deep. It was like the social subtext was really, really got me. Really got me. So hats off. I'm wearing a hat because I need a haircut, and I have this weird thing where I put the headphones on and get like the horizontal mohawk going on right now. And instead of buzzing my hair, I'm just wearing a hat all week. I mean, I take it off when I'm not on calls. I don't wear it to bed or anything weird like that.
Good clarification.
I'm glad I put that out there in case anybody was wondering.
Do we have a topic for the next 4 minutes until we get the answer to what the topic is?
I think you might know this, but that's okay. I'm bringing it to the table anyway. Lazaretto.
Oh, that's the name for the Toyota pickup truck when it's rebranded and sold in like South America.
So fast.
Can you spell it for me?
Lazaretto.
It's like, joking aside.
Like it sounds.
It's a music Lazaretto. Term, but I don't know what it means.
I would believe that. I would believe that.
That it's a musical
the pickup thing.
That
yeah.
it's pickup thing too. For
Toyota. Well, I would believe both that it's a music term and that Gary doesn't remember what it is.
Oh, but not the pickup truck. Come on.
I mean, the pickup truck. It could be that too. Honestly, like
yeah,
you know, like a Forza, a Ford Forza.
Is that a thing?
Sounds like a thing, doesn't it?
It does. My son plays Forza games on the Xbox, and I don't know what a Forza is. Like,
Forza.
It's a racing game, but is like Forza the word for race? And
no. Forza is Italian, Forza, uh-huh. And it means onward, forward.
Okay.
So like if you're
a Ford Forza could be a thing.
Exactly. So if you're at an Italian football match, and you're cheering the Roman team, you'd say Forza Roma.
So glad I buckled up for this one. Woo! I was waiting for that, Chris. Chris is Italian.
Now, were you waiting for the Italian accent, or were you waiting for the hand signal?
Are they not? I thought you could do the accent without a hand.
You can't. Honestly. Yeah, you can't.
Yeah, I thought it was physically.
You can't do it without the hand.
Yeah, I so yes is the answer. That's my favorite kind of tomato.
The Forza Roma tomato.
Yeah, why not? Oh, I think I'm out of tomatoes.
Or if you're throwing tomatoes at someone, you can say Forza Roma.
That's intimidating.
It's a different inflection. But that's not what Lazaretto.
Every day this week. I think every day this week.
Lazaretto.
I'm not sure if it's been every day this week, but I'm out of tomatoes now and I'm a little sad about it.
Forza Roma.
It's the highlight of my sandwiches, honestly.
The tomato?
This week that has been, yeah. That's not like diminishing the value of the rest of the sandwich, but the tomato, like every bite I had with a good tomato in there, I was like, really happy with this tomato.
Do you activate the tomato with salt and pepper?
Ooh, activate.
I didn't know it was called that. Yeah, I didn't know it was called that. I have. I've used pepper by itself. I've used like a, you know, like the generic like Greek seasoning, like that. I've used some other stuff from PenzySpices.com. That might be their website, might not be, but Google it, Penzies. So probably some Penzies mixes. I know. I wish they knew about it. yeah, so I don't know. Like every day it's been a little different spice variety. Never just salt and never salt and pepper. Pepper by itself once. And then all sorts of other spice mixes. Now I want a tomato even more. Maybe I'm just going to have to go find a tomato today before lunch.
Ground pepper? Like do you actually have a pepper grinder? Or do you use just normal like
We do have a pepper grinder. We have, but it's one of those like where it's like built in, which is fine. But, you know, And we had one, like a salt grinder that way as well. But I think Florida humidity may have made it useless.
That doesn't sound good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In Florida. I don't remember what happened. I think it was like you turned it over and you shook it, but like
nothing comes out. Yeah.
Rock pellets were just like stuck in the, they're glued, adhered to the inside. Activated tomatoes is the name of my new
today's topic.
Last night, though.
Yeah, so do we get to know what it means now, or do we have to wait?
I don't know that I said what I think it is, but I don't know that I have a thing. I don't know. I'll go with Gary that it's some music thing. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, well, let's figure out what kind of music thing it is. We have some time. So okay. Lazaretto in music is
we don't have any.
It has nothing to do with volume. I think it's probably a musical term that means like with bounce.
Okay.
What's an example of a song?
A song that uses Lazaretto. Lazaretto.
Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba.
That song's Lazaretto really good.
Somebody once told me.
That was not on my Spotify annual playlist, just for what it's worth.
But Tub Thumping or
2021's a whole new slate.
Yeah.
I know. I got to get started now.
Have you all been working on your binary jazz playlist? Because I have.
I started it this morning.
I've started dumping things into a playlist and I will go through them later.
Just to be clear, one playlist.
Yeah, I know.
And then we can share.
Yeah.
How
I can't make two playlists that are specific to each of you. It's too much.
How long should the playlist be?
That is the magic of making a playlist is deciding how long it should be, what the perfect length is.
This is hysterical because this, like, I generally just like, whatever. Like, I don't care what people think about me. I find this crazy intimidating. I'm so nervous about this, y'all.
Is it because it's us, or would you be like,
yes? Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely.
We have like really weird music taste, or like we're just gonna
because I don't want to put something in there and someone be like, wait,
more like, Mozart? Jeez, Gary.
Or no, what are you saying with this song? You know,
right?
Like Mambo number 5. What? I don't know. Like, I mean, like, apparently, I've time traveled.
Why don't you just reorder your 2020 in a way that you think is more palatable, and then use that?
I was thinking I was going to go like with a very narrow set of parameters, like perhaps all Beatles, right? And then it's all about order and length, apparently, too, because shit, that's a thing. So
your playlist could be like 3 songs. It's up to you. It's more like
rules except those that you impose on yourself. But the rules that you impose on yourself will say something about who you are as a person.
I know. I know. And follow me to my grave.
Binary jazz is all about no rules.
Yeah.
Except you.
Speaking of falling to a grave, did you all see Starship's launch 2 days ago?
No.
Starship is the family of ships that eventually will be returning humans to the moon and potentially to Mars. And it's the next riff that SpaceX is doing past the current Falcon 9, Falcon Heavy class of rocket. And so this was their first atmospheric test flight, and it went to 15 kilometers or 40,000 feet or something like that, and it was set up to test the atmospheric descent, because this rocket will go up and it will, as it comes in the atmosphere, it will basically belly flop, and it has fins in the front and the back, so it falls like a skydiver. And then before it lands, it will kick its butt over and land like a Falcon 9, so engines down. Basically like every rocket we ever saw in movies as kids, like the sci-fi, like, oh, it takes off and then it goes and then it comes in and just lands. Like that's what this does.
And did it do it, or did it like fail?
Yes and yes, it did it and exploded. So it was like, it was everything you could hope for. It honestly, like when it transitioned from upright flight to belly flopping, I teared up and got chills because it was so amazing. I mean, it was just like to see this realized, because they've been talking about this annually for several years, this idea. So to see it, and I can't imagine what it must be like to be an engineer there, having worked on this thing. And so it went like that, and it plummeted back towards where it was going and guided, and you could see the fins and controlling. And then it it pitched over to land, and landed with too much force and exploded. But the landing, I mean, like, that's, you know, like, the purpose of this flight was to test, like, the flight dynamics and to understand, like, I mean, this was like testing. Like, this was like, can we actually do it? And like, to, I have two thoughts. One is, how horrifying must it be traveling to Mars for 9 months, and then you start to feel gravity again, and then all of a sudden you kick over and land. That's going to be a scary as hell ride. And number two, like,
the just, new just ride to see, at Disneyland, travel to Mars. To see
it, like, realized, like, it hasn't left the atmosphere. It hasn't orbited. It has a long way to go. But that proof of concept was,
well, the other stuff we know we can do, like, the other stuff seems like it's like, that's like the easy part, like going up and keep going up. We've been doing that for like 50 years. Like, we know how to go up. That's not a problem.
Yeah, but that's hard. Like, especially with bags of meat that require like a certain amount of like gases and fluids and ways to get rid of bad gases and fluid. Like, we're not the best payloads.
Yeah.
No, we sort of suck as payloads.
Yeah.
You know, like with the whole like eating, processing food, breathing. Like,
I mean, it would be better to send robots with like iPads on their faces, and then we could all just travel to Mars digitally.
Oh man. And so we're, and so 2021
from our bunker underground after the nuclear fallout.
A rover potentially landing on Mars too, which, boy, I realize that part of my love of space is total escapism. So there's that. Anyway, Lazaretto.
Lazaretto is a
maneuver. Lazaretto. Uh-huh.
Is a maneuver in fencing. It's when, ooh, you know,
damn, I bet you're right.
You know, in The Princess Bride, where Inigo Montoya is fighting the six-fingered man, he does that thing where he sort of like, like that thing, that's a lazaretto. It's when you spin your saber around and kind of like confuse the other person, wrap the other person's saber in the middle of it, and then you can do some stupid little move after it. That's a lazaretto. Okay, now we can find out what it actually is.
Lazaretto is, well, it's a Jack White album, so musically kind of close. But okay, also the word itself is a house or building specifically set apart for quarantine or the diseased and sick.
Oh.
So topical.
Topical. Wow. Welcome. It stems from many things, but people think that it stems from Lazarus, where man full of sores dies, and then he gets brought back.
I almost said something about Lazarus, actually, because I thought there was maybe something there, but I was
you like, were thrown reaching by for, the Italian.
I was actually reaching for a music relationship, which was there, but not in that.
But I mean, all
way.
Those
I was trying to think
Latin
about how music.
All those music references are Latin, like the forte and like all that stuff is Latin.
Yeah, I guess that would be like the equivalent of like a very dramatic like break and silence.
I was actually thinking that it might be like a really dramatic break. Yeah, I was actually thinking, but then, yeah.
You're like, but I went with fencing.
Yeah.
Because,
I mean, you already did the music thing, but that was my first, when you said it was a music thing, that was my first thought, was that it would be like a break. But I knew that it wasn't.
So, yeah.
That's just a rest. Just a rest that the conductor makes more dramatic somehow.
Why is silence so this is a dumb question. Why is silence so effective? I'm going to ask it anyway. Why is silence so
effective?
You're going
to ask it, and then we're going to cut to silence because we're going to get cut off in the middle of your question. So go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah. Why is silence so effective in the context of like a big dramatic piece of music? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like you get in and there's the big build.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.